Let's get to the Merrill montage. I got to hear it. They won yesterday. It was a roller coaster. It was ugly for a while. They pulled it out. A lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of all of that featured. Got to hear it. Got to hear a Merrill montage. We're going to need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. It's the 1-1 Eagles trying to bounce back from a heartbreaking loss, and the 2-0 Saints, who so far have been remarkable.
Carr back. Carr being chased. He's sacked back at the 25-yard line. Jordan Davis.
Hurts back. Hurts looking. He fires, and it is intercepted in the end zone.
Carr takes the snap. He's back. He fires, and again it's knocked down at the line of scrimmage. It's knocked down by Jalen Carter.
Back goes Hurts. He's looking. He steps up. He dashes out of harm's way. He starts to run. He falls. He fumbles the football and then makes a tackle.
Hurts back. He's got time. He's looking. He is firing. And it is complete. Goddard at the 20. Goddard at the 15. Hurts with a beautifully timed ball to Goddard.
They're going to tush push. No, they give it off inside. And they're not going to pick it up. They're not going to pick it up. I don't understand why you go for it there.
Hurts back. Here comes the rush. He steps up. He's hit. He drops. They've sacked him at the 40.
Unbelievable.
Once again, the Eagles look 3 points in the face.
Unbelievable.
And turned away. We have reached the end of the third quarter with the score. The Saints 3, the Eagles nothing. It is second down and 5. Do they keep it on the ground with Saquon Barkley? They do. He breaks free. He's at the 50, the 40, the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. 65-yard touchdown run. And the Eagles not only score, but they take the lead.
His career longest is 61. Ball is spotted. Kick is away. And the kick is no good.
And just like that, the Saints take over at midfield.
Back goes Carr. He is firing. Wide open. And is it caught? Yes, touchdown on the far side by Olave, who beat Gardner Johnson.
Hurts is back. Hurts steps up. He fires. He completes it. He's going to have a first down and more. Down the left sideline. Running with the football. All the way across the 10. Down to the 5 is Goddard. 1:05 remaining. The Eagles have a first and goal from the 5.
Motion. Give. Barkley. Up the middle. Touchdown!
Eagles take the lead.
Carr steps up. Hit as he fires the football, and it is intercepted! It is intercepted by Reed Blankenship! It's intercepted by Reed Blankenship, and the Eagles are going to pull off the upset!
We're winning!
Well, it's great here in Merrill and Mike with the calls there, as it was yesterday here on WIP, as the Birds get to 2-1. Look, let's make it real simple here. They won that game primarily yesterday because of their defense, Saquon Barkley, the offensive line. Credit to Jeff Stoutland getting backups ready to go. Credit to those guys stepping in, and Dallas Goedert. I mean, those were the main factors. Now, Jalen deserves credit for obviously showing resiliency and a far better end of the game than a start and for a while in the game. I do think they've got an issue with the quarterback. I mean, I think he's only slightly above average, and we're probably going to be dealing with that the whole season. So get ready, buckle up, because what you're going to get this year, I'm telling you right now what you're going to get. I'm just telling you right now. You're going to get ugly losses. Okay, you're going to get ugly losses and you're going to get dirty wins. That's what this team is. And, you know, let's hope it nets out to 10 or 11 wins and a playoff berth and all that. But
without Devontae,
I know,
without AJ, without the entire right side of your offensive line,
I understand.
Other teams, other good teams, like the San Francisco 49ers, when they are without this same level of player, they start the season 1-2. They lost yesterday. You know, we are up there with those
teams.
Well,
hold on, John. Here's what I'm going to say. Hold on a second.
Based on the roster.
What has Hurts said for the 4 years he's here? I don't know if I've heard it this year, but I heard it a lot the last couple years. The standard is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the standard's supposed to be, he's not there.
He is
at
the standard.
He's not even close.
But the good part is he would say, I am not anywhere close to the standard.
But the more important part moving forward is not what he says. It's what he does on the field for the 3 hours.
Correct.
I give Jalen a tremendous amount of credit for pulling that out yesterday, having resiliency, showing guts, showing some wheels again when needed. Like, he is a gutsy player. He is a passionate player. Doesn't have a passionate personality per se, but he plays football with great passion, determination, and intensity and skill. But he also goes awry dramatically out there in ways that hurt the football team. That game was closer yesterday than it had to be, in large part because of Jalen's miscues and Sirianni's miscues. And you can get away with it yesterday, but you can't play that way the whole year, and you can't win a Super Bowl that way.
You think that was a dirty win yesterday? I don't.
You don't think that was a dirty win?
Not at all. Not an.
They had 0 points entering the fourth quarter.
I understand that.
Wow.
Those injuries, okay?
Yeah, I get it.
The defense was playing the team with the offense that led in every single category.
Yep.
And they held them to 219 points, 89 yards on the ground. I'm sorry. He lost Lane Johnson and Becton in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
When Lane Johnson normally doesn't play or goes out, they don't win.
No, I know they've had horrible history when Lane's out.
He doesn't have his star receiver. His backup, his second best receiver, goes out. I thought, and considering how awful he played in the first two or three drives, the way he played in the fourth quarter, I would say dirty win. I would not put this in that category.
Well, look, we'll see where people are at today and all week. I mean, it's another fascinating game to react to. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's going on, Patrick?
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing well, Patrick.
John Ritchie, I like how you kept saying, like, we did win yesterday. I need to remember that right now, too. You know, we did.
And that was a team we weren't supposed to beat. Everyone's telling us, oh, they're so tough. They're going to run the ball. You know what? We knew that was their plan.
Well,
and we stopped it.
Patrick,
we had a plan to stop what they did best.
I'll say this, Patrick. I'll use the 91 Eagles defense as a reference point here. So when the 91 Eagles defense won the House of Pain game in Houston,
yes,
we knew the Eagles stymied a truly phenomenal offense. We knew they won a truly impressive game, okay? We knew it because we had seen Houston for years running up and down
Wes
the field.
Wes Hopkins across the middle.
Totally,
breaking,
yeah.
Was it Ernest Gibbons?
It was three of the four receivers got drilled and knocked out.
Yeah.
But my point, Patrick, is I don't think we really know how good New Orleans is. So even though they look great for two games, I'm not going to bring out massive pom-poms because the Eagles beat a team with the Saints with Derek Carr, who hasn't done that much in his career. Just going to leave it there.
Well, listen, I'm psyched to see what we did defensively because I was so down on the defense coming into
it. It was
the
phenomenal. The defense was great.
Listen, I'm out on Hurts. I usually want to wait four games. This guy's look, the injuries had no bearing on his decision-making, whether it was before or after the injuries on the front line. The injuries had no bearing on him throwing that ball in the end zone. This guy's a turnover machine.
No, he's not.
Quarterback.
He's
listen,
turned the ball over six times this year.
Well, for what it's worth, he's turned the ball over the most in pro football since the start of last season.
And
that's the most.
But listen,
and
it
doesn't make him a turnover machine.
Well, it doesn't make him not one.
Yeah, thank you. But listen, I need a quarter. I want a quarterback that makes smart decisions and protects the ball.
Mm-hmm.
His first snap in his regular season debut as an NFL player, he muffed a fumble. This guy can't hold on. You know what? Take a ball. It's like when you're in high school or whatever. You have this egg. It's a baby. Carry this egg around. Pretend you're its parent. You know what, Jalen? Go. You need to be sleeping with that damn football. I'm tired of this. Last year I was, oh, we won. Yeah, it was a crappy game, John Rich. But guess what? Oh, we won. Listen, we win. Yeah, we won. This is not a recipe for success in the playoffs. It's not a recipe for getting a lot of wins in a row. Listen, if you can't make a smart decision, you can't make a smart decision. Lane John, although it had no bearing. This guy.
All right, Patrick, I got you. I understand. I understand your point. Everyone hears you. I mean, people are going to be coming down on both sides of the Jalen thing here. Here's the irony.
Decision making is something you can get better at. It is something, especially when you're a young quarterback in an offense that's new to you. You are going to improve at the decision-making part, especially when we were told, you know, he has added a lot to his slate this year in terms of just like what he's responsible for. We know that Jalen is now making the calls for protections. Mm-hmm. We know that Jalen is now audibilizing the big drive route to Dallas Goedert for the huge gain. Jalen liked the knew that he could beat that with a man-beater play, audibilized and got us into that perfect play for the situation. That's exactly what we're looking
for. That's critical.
He's getting better at the offense.
But John,
he's only a month in to this offense, and I expect continued improvement at the reading through, at the reading out, and you know, hopefully it doesn't take quite so long. It feels like it's been a slog thus far.
Well, it has been.
And I don't feel great about that. I know he'll be better.
Look, there's also a play, and we haven't even talked about it yet, where you know Greg Olsen's saying all he's got to do is throw the ball to Dallas Goedert, and it's a touchdown. I mean, there's stuff like that, like you can't miss
plays like that in every game.
Well, that was pretty excessive. I mean, that looked like, you know, kind of like
there are plays like that in every game. When Tom Brady was playing,
I don't know about
there
that.
Were plays like that for Tom Brady.
I wouldn't say
in every game.
I wouldn't say every game there's a guy that wide open for a TD. James, true or false?
Ooh, game of the day.
So yeah, when the Hurts thing nets out, as of now, he is 32 NFL quarterbacks at start. He is nets out slightly above average. True or false?
True. Definitively, yeah. I mean, I do think he can get better at this. I don't think he's a finished product in terms of reading the defense and all that. But the decision making itself has to be better. And look, I get it, John. In 2021 and 2022, he was super great at protecting the football. It was one of his best skills, maybe his best. But we got to be real about what we've seen the last year and a half. He hasn't done that. Like, he has lost the right to be called someone who protects the football. He has to earn that back.
All right, let's listen to
Three games this season.
All of last year season, John.
Last year was a mess.
Well, John, number one.
That.
Well, it sounded like you didn't. You keep saying three games. Number one in pro football and turnovers since the start of last year.
Last year was broken from a lot of perspectives because the offense was, we know it wasn't anywhere close to like pro level what you'd expect would give him the answers that he needs. That's my objection to last year. He didn't have the answers to the test that he needed. He didn't have the ability to say, hey, stop. Hey, Dallas, run this drive route because it's man coverage and we know that they're going to pick one another. We got a great chance to bust a long gain on this play. He didn't have that access last year. So I don't fault him the same way for last season.
I understand.
Yes, this year, he's turning it over too much. Six times more than anyone else in the NFL who's playing quarterback. But we're only three games in, and this is the whatever quasi-training camp that I hope he comes out the other side a more polished quarterback who understands things to a higher degree.
It'll be fascinating at 9 to hear Seth Joyner on this topic and the Sirianni topic and the defense topic, all of it. Let's also hear from Sirianni right now on Jalen. Sirianni, as strong yesterday as I have ever heard him on any issue at the podium, I don't ever remember Sirianni trying to make a point more forcefully than he made this point post-game yesterday about Jalen Hurts. Listen to what the head coach said.
Jalen Hurts is a winner. He's a winner. He wins, right? What you tell me when he hasn't won. He's a winner, right? And, man, I'm proud of him. I can't say enough good things about his response. Like, He has the same look on his face the entire game. Now, he's getting excited, and I love that about him, that he's getting excited. But he knows it's the sum of all the plays that says who you are. Not just one play that everyone's going to talk about. It's not just one play. It's the sum of all plays. And he's the quarterback, and this guy is a freaking winner. He won at Alabama. He won at Oklahoma. He's been like he's been winning here over and over and over and over. And you know what? We're the Philadelphia Eagles, so we understand we're going to get criticism. But this dude's a freaking winner. Jalen Hurts is a winner, and he won today.
All right, listen, you heard the head coach. You can react. Look, it was a gutsy win yesterday because it was in the midst of tremendous adversity. And Jalen obviously played better as the game went on. Sirianni's got a lot to answer to. Now, he'll be on our show tomorrow, and obviously we'll drill down on a lot of the issues in the game with him and on this football season. I mean, let's be real. It's been a strange one, both locally and nationally. I mean, nationally, there's upsets all over the place. And then, you know, the division, I mean, Dallas, they look great week one. They look horrible the last two games. You know, the Giants in Washington probably are what we thought they were. Look, we'll see on the Birds. I'm really going to be fascinated today at 9 o'clock to talk to Seth Joyner. He'll be with us in studio for an entire hour because last year when the Eagles were winning, and I do think it was a dirty win yesterday, an ugly win, whatever type of term you want to put. I know Ray disagrees, but it was certainly not what I'd call a conventional win. And, you know, last year when they got a bunch of them, Seth was not thrilled for a while. And then near the end of the winning streak, he was like, all right, enough. I'm just jumping in. They keep winning. And, like, this is what they do. And then when they started losing the San Fran game, the next game, the next game, the next game, Seth came in here with steam coming out of his nostrils, not just because of how the Eagles played, but I knew he was frustrated that he had sort of eschewed his own natural instincts to not buy in an ugly win. So it'll be really interesting today at 9 o'clock to figure out or find out where he is with how this team looks right now. We know this. Saquon John is incredible. I mean, he's an amazing football player.
Huh. And he hasn't lost a step either.
He hasn't.
Has he?
No. Does that make you feel not only good for the Eagles, but good for you?
Man.
Score one for John Ritchie. Well, let me say score one for John Ritchie.
It bothers me so much when
bang! Right back at you, tough guy!
You have to be, I don't know, repeatedly reminded and
he looks great.
Told of the truth beforehand.
Great.
Yeah, he's incredible because he's young. He's ready to roll in his hometown. This is as close to a hometown as you can get for a guy. And when you get to come home like this in the NFL, it gives you a boost. It gives you that inspiration boost that Run CMC had last season. We know that, you know, hey, next season, I don't know what's going to happen with Saquon. I know this season we've got a great back we can really take advantage of, and we're giving him the ball at, what was it, 21
times
this
last game? Too much. It's good to win the game, but it's not sustainable to have over 500 touches
in a season. This is how backs, true bell cow backs, function best. But we do have to be careful. Look, at the end of the season, when we're way up, hopefully, ahead, we can
John, they're not going 12-5. This team's not good enough for that.
This team will continue to improve. You do understand that, right? We're not where we need to be.
Well, let me ask you.
We're not anywhere close to where we need to be.
Did last year's team improve?
Yes. But then the coaching completely decimated
things. No, the answer is no. They did not improve.
The players got better.
No,
the coaches decimated them.
John, every team in the league tries to play better next week than the prior week.
You know that playing football means that you get better at playing football. You get in better football shape.
That's a different point.
The coaches nosedived everything. And look, this year, I feel good about the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator.
I agree with that.
Who are working with these players. It's on the players now to perform better.
Jalen Hurts. For sure. And
actually do his job better. And Nick Sirianni too. Yeah. These decisions that you made. Three decisions, on fourth down, they were wrong. And analytically speaking, even, like when you examine what analytics says to do, you went against that, apparently.
Well, I don't know that. You said that?
I just read that, heard that. It's just...
The problem is Sirianni didn't feel...
You be consistent with whatever you're doing. Consistent with your message.
I don't know about that.
Consistent with the way you coach these guys.
Here's the deal. Feel the game.
He certainly didn't do
Here's
that.
Here's where he didn't feel the game yesterday, like with the fourth and one, okay? I got a struggling quarterback. I got limited time left on the clock. Even if I get this conversion, what are the chances I'm actually going to get this ball in the end zone before the end of the half? So slim. That's not feeling the game. Like, it doesn't matter what fourth and one is with 6 minutes left in a quarter. If you're coming down, you know, if you're coming down to it, feel the game. Feel the circumstances. Two other quick things real quick before we go to the calls. Number one, the refs, umps, whatever all their terms are, the people that officiated yesterday's game should be ashamed with themselves for not blowing the whistle. That's why Devontae Smith got knocked out. Not because a guy had a clean shot on Devontae Smith before the whistle blew. We all know about football. You play until the whistle. Whistle hadn't blown. Devontae caught the ball and forward progress was stopped at the 36. That guy drilled him at the 31. That's on the referees. Second point, Seltzer. Are the Phillies ever going to win the division?
Yes, they will.
That didn't sound very confident.
They will. No, they're going to win
the
division.
They will win it.
Probably
but,
tonight.
But, James, I will tell you this, man. With the freaking fifth starter thing, there's a decent chance they have blown home field advantage. They have lost like 77 straight games when a fifth starter starts. They are one game up on the Dodgers. Excuse me.
Hey,
one game back
playing,
of the Dodgers.
The Mets are playing
I know
good
they
baseball,
are,
man.
But they're one game back of the Dodgers. They're tied with the Yankees. And the reality is, like, look.
The reality is
might
we're going
to
beat
seed.
The Cubs and we'll get.
Well, they're going to make the. Of course they're going to win the division. That was more a sarcastic question. What I'm getting at is there's a decent chance they're going to have to play game one and maybe game seven on the road. Look, not to say you can't win it that way. Arizona won it that way last year, meaning in the NLCS. But aggravating to have the kind of cushion
they
had.
The Dodgers could lose before the NLCS.
Clearly.
And you have home field. There's many ways it could happen.
Listen, anything could happen. All right, let's get to Bobby right now. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Bobby.
Well, I'm down here in New Orleans. I heard you guys talk about the 91 team earlier.
Yeah.
I wore my Wes Hopkins throwback.
Nice.
And I'm standing in line in the men's room, and the kid behind me from the Saints, he said, "What Hopkins is that?" So he didn't even know. So it was pretty cool. It's always great to fly home after a win, and this makes it even better. I couldn't get a direct flight, so I have to fly through Dallas.
So that's great.
So I'm down here for business, but when my business is done, I will be putting Wes Hopkins back on and flying to Dallas later today.
No, that's great, man. I like you putting that jersey back on to go through there, man. That's good work. So, Mike, what was the atmosphere like down there?
It was, I tell you, the fans, it's a loud stadium. It's a dark stadium. But the New Orleans fans, they were pretty cool. Now, I'm down here by myself, but there were tons of Eagles fans. I mean, we travel well, but they were really good to us. I need to tell you at halftime, so obviously I'm at the game, so I don't have the benefit of listening to the commentators, so I don't know the extent of the injuries. But 3-0, it was depressing. But I also realized it could have easily been 14-0 either team, right? I mean, the defense held the Saints.
Yeah.
They got lucky. They hit the goal.
Well, the block punt could have been returned. I mean, there's a million things that could have gone different in this game.
But it could have easily been 14-0 both teams. So I tell you, I think two things can be true at the same time. It was an ugly win, but it was a gut shot.
I agree with that. I think that's well stated. Listen, Bobby, it was a very gutsy win. Because there's a lot of, and listen, last year at the end of the season, the Eagles might have folded 10. And there's a lot of teams that would fold 10 with that kind of adversity. And I give them a lot of credit for pulling that thing out. A lot.
You're coming off a devastating loss 6 days before.
Yep.
You're playing in a hostile environment. You had the injuries, like I said, that I was unaware of. You had poor coaching. And the whole thing with Jalen, this is what bothers me the most about the ball security. Once you pass the line of scrimmage, you know you can't throw the ball. Why don't you tuck it? Come on, man.
Yeah, he wasn't past, and good call, Bobby. He wasn't past the line of scrimmage when he fumbled going to his left.
It was sloppy. It was sloppy by Jalen, and he needs to be better. And that's something that and that's Doug Nussmeier. That's your quarterback coach drilling you every day, being the bad cop. You know, we had John DeFilippo in here last week.
That's right.
He was so great with Carson Wentz because he was willing to be the bad guy. We need to be sure that someone's the bad guy with Jalen to drill all these little mechanical things. Having both hands on that ball could have prevented a fumble.
Totally. Let's get to Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm sorry I hit the button wrong on the first call.
No
but
worries.
I also want to apologize for using the Times Yours line as a personal mental health, like wellness line. I'm sorry about that.
Are we going to be featuring your calls? Listen, that's up to Wechter. I don't choose them, but we'll see if your call makes the air.
I probably owe him a copay or something. But, I will say is about Nick really quick is I think he's just he's locked in his own head too much. I think he's examining, reexamining, and overthinking so much. It kind of reminds me of the movie The Shining, you know, when Jack Nicholson has typed like 1,000 pages of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I'm concerned Sirianni's like, you know, in the 200 pages of the same type thing. I think he's locked in his head. And, because his decision-making is drastically different and for the worse than it was the first two seasons.
That's correct.
And, you know, I can't help but think it's all the pressure he's putting on himself because of the changes. And he just needs to find a way to take himself off, you know, the burner himself. You know, he just got to find a way to get some space and to get a better perspective.
So, Paul, I'll say this. Your instincts may be right, but they may be wrong. So here's the wild thing about those decisions yesterday, and this could cut either way. And I wonder if this was in his mind. So there's an argument that says, I don't have a lot of my top talent on offense. Let's kick a field goal. Things aren't going well. Let's just kick a field goal, tie the game. I'm using the one example, you know, when it could have been 3-3. Like, you can make the case, I don't have my players. Let's kick in and get to 3-3. And that's what you'd call conventional wisdom. But there's also the counterintuitive way, and some coaches might look at it this way. I don't have a lot of my top players. There's only so many times I'm going to move the ball down the field effectively. Let's go for it because I'm not going to have many chances to get to 7. This might be one of them. Let's do it.
You had one chance because you had a timeout. Yeah, I think it was 14 seconds left.
Right.
You did have room for an extra play.
But I also would feel better if I felt better about Hurts. Like, I'm not looking at Hurts 2022. I'm looking at a guy who looks like he's in a fog at that point in the game. Like, why go for it to trust Jalen with 10 or 14 seconds left? To me, that makes no sense. Because he's not good enough right now to be trusted in that spot, to be candid.
I think you need to trust him. And in the second half, you would have trusted him with the way that he was playing by the end of the game. I think
he played better at the end.
He needs to feel that trust in order to get to where it's like self-sustaining. And he's playing better.
The Taylor to Jalen things is really hard to wrap your head around. And, you know, it's difficult, especially because the turnovers are so out of line and so out of whack. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's going to draw corporate sponsorships. You know, like Pepperidge Farm is going to get involved here. The turnovers are ridiculous. And it needs to stop. And, and it doesn't seem to be.
And they're harping on it, Paul.
Answers for a lot of them.
That's their focal point every week. Jalen, this has to end. Jalen, ball security. Jalen, progression. You can't make this throw. That is, man, they're drilling this into him.
Paul, good call. Let's get to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
How's it going, Mike?
John, I don't know about you, but I distinctly recall you and I extremely happy when they signed this Saquon Barkley guy.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
He's pretty good at football, huh?
My gosh.
He really is.
The beauty is, like, once upon a time, it did feel like we had a pedestrian rushing attack. You know, when Miles Sanders could break him and go hit his head on the goalposts, as I like to say. We just haven't seen it as much as I wish we would have because we haven't run the ball.
I'll put it in broader terms. So let's put it this way. In the last 45 years, the Eagles had four truly, truly great running backs.
Yep.
They were Wilbert, they were Ricky, they were Brian Westbrook, and they were LeSean. Mm-hmm. And I say that no disrespect to Deuce, who was pretty damn good also. But they had four guys that you knew in their prime were top three or four in the league. There is a legitimate chance Saquon, not only number five, is the best of all of them. Now, to be clear, I didn't see Wilbert. I was too young. But like Saquon is really, he's really special. And I did wonder how much, I knew he was still going to be good, but I wondered if he was still going to be great based on the wear and tear and the injuries. And it is very clear he's still
so
really great.
Great. Yeah, it really does feel, remember, this guy is 230 plus pounds. And he's running as fast as he needs to run. We were told that his 21 point, whatever it was, 6.6 miles per hour is the second fastest any player reached speed-wise last week. Like, this guy's giant and fast at the same time. He's like a giant cannonball.
Well, Mike, I'll say this, and then I want to turn it over to you. But when I was at training camp this year, one of the things that struck me the most is how physically big he is. He's really big.
My.
Much bigger than I thought. So he's an incredible player. Mike, go ahead, man.
Yeah, and you know what? And he's just one of the reasons why I actually – and look, there's a lot to talk about this week, and I can't wait to listen all week. The word I have right now is optimism. That was a gut check win. And look, again, we've been talking about it a little bit. There was a lack of preseason. All right. So the first few weeks, we always kind of, we knew the first few weeks were going to look a little clunky. We didn't, and they still have to develop. And quite honestly, this is a game that last year's team loses. Okay. So this, I think, is the start.
Well, yes and no, Mike. Mike, it's a game that last year's team loses at the end. It's the kind of game last year's team won for two-thirds of the year. I mean, when they were winning, they were winning ugly.
But Joe, this was a gut check win.
I agree.
There's a lot of negatives. This is a gut check win. 40% of the offensive line is out. Jalen played, and look, there's a lot of negatives to talk about with Jalen. However, that fourth quarter, he is playing with nothing but second-string wide receivers the entire quarter. All right? He put a dime on Johnny Wilson's hand before that big 60-yard pass to Dallas.
Yeah, that was a brutal drop.
Great fourth quarter.
Yep.
So, look, the defense is going to go as far as Jalen Carter goes. Jalen Carter is a stud. He just has to remember that this defense is going to run how he runs. So I'm actually looking at the positives. Like, there's a lot to happen. There's a lot of talk, which is all valid. This team, I'm telling you, 12-5 is still there, baby.
Well, it's possible. I'll be surprised if they get to 12-5 at this point based on what we've seen, but it's possible. Let's remember, the schedule doesn't seem that hard. Now, we also should reassess the schedule, and maybe later this week we will, because now we actually have data on teams that's different than what we perceived when the schedule came out in the spring.
Tampa got beat pretty well yesterday.
They did. They sure did. I mean, it's been a very strange start to the NFL season, to say the least. Let's also get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin. Check the incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. So the last caller was just kind of alluding to this poll question we have today. What stands out to you more from yesterday's win? Is it the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question, with that win yesterday, which individual or group, John, what's your gut feeling on this? Which individual or group is most responsible for the win? Yeah. Is it Saquon, Dallas Goedert, or the defense?
Man, that's so tough.
That is tough.
I think for me, Saquon and Dallas cancel one another out because of the awesome oneness of their performances. Like, they really were incredible on their own to some degree. The defense, particularly the defensive line, wins for me because of it really was attitude more than anything else.
So, look,
they stepped up and stuffed everything.
This could, you could split this poll in threes, and all are great answers. I'll just say this. I kind of lean Saquon as the answer, and I'll tell you why. His touchdown run when they had no points, the first play after Devontae gets knocked out. Like, we're all feeling so low. Mm-hmm. You know, the game is in the second half. They still have no points. Devontae's now knocked out. AJ's out. Lane's out. Becton's out. I don't know if Covey was in or out at that point. I can't quite remember.
That is incredible.
And it was literally the next play, and he goes for a touchdown. I mean, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say, like, when Brian Westbrook saved the season in 03, which he did, by the way, with the punt return against the Giants, you know, game six, to avoid 2-4 and get to 3-3. But, you know, I thought Saquon saved the game yesterday. Now, look, Goddard was amazing. The defense was amazing. They're all wonderful answers. Let's get to Sirianni.
Saquon can do this with regularity. That's the thing. With our offensive line, even with two guys rolling in, replacements on the right side of our O-line, you see that Jeff Stoutland is so good, that Saquon is so good, so great, I should say, that you give it to him consistently, he will go and do this.
I will say this, though, for
our team.
They better start two things. One, when they have a chance to get some scores, and I'm not just talking about the field goals. I mean, when Jalen's got an open guy, hit him. Like, you don't want to have every game come down to the very end, because they will get Saquon killed. If he has to touch the ball 500 times this year, he ain't going to make it to the end. I mean, he's just not. And that's what he's on pace for right now. You cannot have a running back have to be relied on so much to get through 21 games that he touches the ball 500 times. That's ridiculous. So they got to start finding a way to get Shipley involved. They got to, or Gainwell. And also, they got to capitalize when they have chances so that they're not. I mean, this feels to me
I would
go to him more.
With Britton Covey being out for the next potentially 6 weeks or so, we don't know for sure what's going on with him, but we know he's hurt.
I do think that that's part of why they brought this rookie running back in here, because of the new ideas and potential.
Well, that and the fact Gainwell's on the last year of his deal and will probably be gone after the season.
No doubt.
So you're churning
Gainwell,
it.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah. This is a smart young player who I do think it's not going to be too big for him if you put him in. You know, if you give him responsibility.
I just want to find out. I mean, you can't just rely on Saquon, because at a certain point you're going to get diminishing returns. Not yet.
We only kept three backs. I'm well aware. All highly functional backs.
All right, let's listen to Sirianni. Let's go inside the locker room after the game. So the Eagles get the win. They put this audio out pretty quick. Normally it takes until Tuesday or later on Monday to get this. They put this audio out. As always, probably some stuff had to get bleeped out, so it makes, you know, the spots where you think, oh, that didn't sound consistent. Well, yeah, they probably had to bleep an F-bomb or something out of there. But here's Sirianni after the game addressing the guys. And by the way, you're going to hear Reed Blankenship step in there as well near the end. Here's Sirianni and Blankenship.
Guys, that's a complete team win. When one phase isn't working, the other one has the other one's back. I'm so proud of you. That's how you respond. That's how you respond. That's a response. Nobody had any doubt when we were coming here.
The defense, though. I love y'all boys, man. Love the hell out of y'all. We came in here, we dominated,
yes, sir.
Bro. I want to ride and die with this team.
Yes, sir.
Ride and die.
Yes, sir.
We got each other's back.
Turn me up, bro.
People in this room, and that's it.
All right, so look, it's great team camaraderie and spirit. It is interesting. One thing, if you hear at the very end, it does sound like that they may be doing the rallying cry, us against everyone, which
we all we got, we all we need.
Well, hold on, James.
Sounds familiar.
No. Which could be. Against people locally who have doubted them.
I think it's against the world is one of the most motivating things in sports.
But I'll say this, can be irritating for a fan base. When Malcolm said that back then, it wasn't a fan base, you're doubting us. It was a, hey, we can win the Super Bowl with the players in this locker room.
You lost your MVP candidate quarterback.
Yeah,
and
that's
everybody
different.
Thought it was done, and he was saying, no, it's not.
Totally. I perceive Sirianni's thing there. And look, he does a great job at the podium thanking fans and going up to fans after the game and slapping five and all that. But I perceive that he and they have felt heat, and he's trying to say, all right, guys, it's us.
Well, there has been heat.
But I'll
good,
say this.
Use it. I have no problem what you do to get motivated.
You got
to
be careful with that, because that can annoy a fan base. And if you lose, now you're out there on a hell of a limb. I mean, you just are. All right, let's go to the phones. Damian right now. Good morning, Damian.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Damian.
Hey, if I could just say so, I'm getting off my speakerphone. Y'all got me better now.
All right, Damian, go ahead. Then we're going to get to Saquon. You better hit it fast, because if not, Saquon's coming. I got some audio. Him praising Jalen Hurts. I want to get to. All right, okay, give me what you got, Damian.
All right, well, listen, first and foremost, I just want to say, we had a good win yesterday. We pulled it out against a team that everybody was probably doubting us about winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't
they're
like,
a good team.
I don't like the coaching as far as the decisions that Sirianni's making, choosing to go on it on fourth down at the wrong time. We're going to go into the half. We don't have any points. We're going to get the ball back. Why not take the points? I just don't understand the choices he made. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was horrible. Horrible decisions.
Decision horrible. After decision that were just wrong. Flat out wrong.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
And the team just hung in there. You know, I kept thinking, wow, when is this defense going to let down? They keep hanging tough, and they keep responding to these, you know, sudden change, turn the ball over on downs, and they just kept doing it. And you have to give them credit for that consistency, that emotional consistency.
You have to. It's warranted. It's warranted.
Yes.
I want to give a big ups to the defense. They stepped up this week. You know what I mean? We feel as if they let us down last week for them to let them drive down field on us. But this week,
right,
they held us in the game. They held us in
the game. They played great.
They played with emotion.
They played fantastic. They really did.
For sure. Definitely.
And listen, Damian, this team, not just defense, this team requires Jalen Carter to play exceptional, because if he doesn't, they can't be exceptional. It's like the Sixers with Joel Embiid. The Sixers need Joel Embiid to play great to have any shot. You know, big shot. That's what this team needs with Jalen Carter.
He was exceptional.
He has it in him.
By the way,
and he's got to do it a lot.
Milton Williams plays exceptional football also. Moro Ojomo is also a really good football player. We have defensive linemen who I don't know that they get the credit they deserve. Guys stepped up across the board, and it wasn't just our big two, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. It makes more sense when you see guys play the way they played yesterday, why they kept the guys that they kept.
Well, and Bryce Huff is very lucky.
Bryce Huff
that
does not make sense
that
they kept
that
him.
They won the game because
18 snaps.
Yeah, if they had lost, we'd be talking a lot more about his 18 snaps. I mean, obviously, what's going on is
he's the outlier.
Yeah, Vic Fangio doesn't believe in him a ton.
No, he doesn't.
And they're dialing back.
And
his
he
snaps.
Shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't,
because he's proven that he is weak against the run. He is a liability against the run. And, you know, great first step. That's all
now,
you can
say. To be fair, I don't have a feel in those 18 snaps if he played well or not. I didn't notice him. It's certainly possible he made some plays in there that they kind of helped yesterday, but it certainly was nothing that jumped to me out watching the game on television. All right, 215-592-9494. What Saquon Barkley said after the game about Jalen Hurts, big praise to Jalen. What Saquon said, you'll hear that coming up in 1 minute. 1 minute, Saquon on Jalen. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center right now. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center, they're also the originators of the Teeth in a Day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. I strongly encourage you, if you have a major issue with your teeth, get yourself to PI Dental Center. They're located in Fort Washington. They can not only take care of you, they can fix you. Got to get yourself there, though. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, Saquon, very clear after the game. And Saquon's the kind of player and person, when he says something, I perk up, because in the limited time we've been hearing from him here, but to an extent over some years hearing from him from afar from New York, I tend to think he speaks with tremendous authenticity. I don't think you're getting someone beating around the bush. I don't think you're getting someone trying to mislead you. Now, I got to hear him a little bit more to know for sure. But I think he seems like a really authentic guy. He had very high praise for Jalen Hurts yesterday, which was great to hear after the game. Here's Saquon on Hurts.
He's the most poised human being I've ever been around in my life. He doesn't get flustered. Never too high, never too low. And to be honest, you know, only being around him for however many months, learned a lot from him as a player and as a man too. So, he's the leader of his team. And, you know, obviously those turnovers not what you want to happen, but that happens part of the game, but it's all about how you respond. And you know, he responded with a 2-minute drive going down the field and making a big play to Dallas, and Dallas running his butt off, and we find a way to get an end zone.
Great praise. By the way, also credit to Kellen Moore with the play design on that, because it wasn't accidental that Saints players ran into each other. It's obviously part of the play design, and a nice job by the receiver. I think it was Dotson who came through there. Didn't run into the opposing player, but created the kind of traffic to create a confusion, and ultimately not one, not two, but 3 Saints running into each other. Here's more of Saquon as he continued talking yesterday about Jalen Hurts.
Oh, he just comes in the huddle and say everything's going to be all right. Always got that look on his face that, you know, no need to worry. Just keep going at it, keep working, and we're going to be all right. You could just see it. You know, he don't even got to say much. You could just see it on his face. You could see it on his demeanor. He's a winner. He's a gamer. And he came up big.
And how reassuring is that for the rest of the guys?
Big. I mean, like I said, he's the leader of the team. You know, he's the heart. We all follow him. And, you know, the way he responds is big.
Okay. That's good. I like hearing it.
Keep doing what you're doing. You are a leader also, even though you're saying
Yeah, Saquon's a stud. I mean, let's be real. The guy's unbelievable. Let's get to David right
Their
now.
Their closeness, too, though. Their
What's that?
Closeness. You know, the whole offseason, we saw all sorts of documentation of the two of them doing things together outside of football.
Oh, yeah.
They were working out together just for fun.
Yeah.
They're squatting together for fun. You know, they're making it a date in the gym to make sure that they're getting the most out of their workouts.
It's like you and me hanging out, you know, on the regular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like peas and carrots.
James, you know what's going to be complicated when we next do our top 10 Philadelphia sports player list?
Mm-hmm.
Like Saquon's...
On there.
Off. Yeah. On there. He's up there.
Yeah, he is.
Saquon or Zach Wheeler?
Zach Wheeler.
I agree. Saquon or Tyrese Maxey?
Saquon.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Let's talk to David right now in Drexel Hill.
Hey, you know what's nice? Last week he lost the game for us with a drop. This week he won the game.
Totally.
You know, and let me say this.
And he's been their best player through three games. I'm not saying he is their best player because I think either he or AJ were lean.
Eyes don't
lie. But AJ's missed some time. Saquon has played the best of any player so far this year in total. Hey,
Hammer, let me ask you a question because I know you know football, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
was a weird way you called him Hammer, by the way.
Yeah, Hammer! Yeah,
I'll take Hammer or
Hammer.
That was really strange.
I'll take either one.
I don't know how I felt about that at all. Like it was almost like a reverent way.
All right, go ahead, David.
John, listen, take the top 10 quarterbacks right now, the stats, the ratings, everything about them, right? None of them has had a different offensive coordinator every year and is doing what Jalen do. You keep saying you're worried about Jalen. But think about this. Do you like Patrick Mahomes?
I do.
Well, why is he throwing all the interceptions?
Because it happens sometimes.
Why has he got all the turnovers?
Look, he's got two titles in a row and three, and he's been in the conference title game every year of his starting career.
We're talking about individual
Look,
play.
David, here's the argument I'll give you, and it doesn't start with Mahomes. It starts with Dak Prescott. It starts with Brock Purdy. It starts with Joe Burrow. It starts with Lamar Jackson. There are some very notable quarterbacks who almost everybody would say are in the top 10 of pro football that have had issues this year. And Jalen's one of them. Now, not everyone would say he's in the top 10. I'd say he's a little bit outside the top 10. But the point is, it's been funky. I think defenses are making some adjustments, not only within this year, but over the span of a couple of years. And so, you know, a lot of players are trying to find their way in this league right now where scoring is down. I mean, it just is.
Jalen was in the Super Bowl out of all the ones you named in the last three seasons. But the point I'm making is that all the team is dropping. Goddard, you say Goddard did great yesterday.
He was phenomenal.
But guess who made him look great?
No, Jalen got it. Listen,
sure
David,
did.
Good call. I get it, man. Look, I swear to God, let me just say this to everyone listening. You don't have to sell me on the great parts of Jalen.
Then pay attention to the second half
and recognize that
could be the way he continues to play.
It could be. Let me finish the sentence. You don't have to sell me on the great parts of Jalen, but don't you know obscure the reality of the bad parts of him either. I mean, we got a guy right here in Philadelphia right now that does some spectacular and does some horrendous, and I do think it's confusing people. Because
I don't think it's confusing. I think it is the norm. I think this is
not
what
like this.
Quarterbacking is.
No.
And the capacity, the aptitude that our quarterback has is extreme. We should feel fortunate we've got the aptitude that Jalen Hurts has.
I'll say this. Note this statement. Most above average quarterback, if you take all the quarterbacks and they all play a full season, now not everyone does. Some guys get benched, some guys get injured. But it is rare that you will find an above average quarterback lead the league in turnovers. It's rare. It's normally the Daniel Joneses.
We're three games in.
I'm going back to last year. It's a long sample size now, and he's had a lot of turnovers. Seth Joyner.
You are unbelievable.
Well, John.
You are wrong.
And about I do is spit truth and wisdom.
No.
Guy's got the most
season,
turnovers in football.
He's got six turnovers. Six turnovers. Let's separate
what
last
am I wrong
year
about?
And this year.
Why?
Because the offensive coordinator was a hack.
And it's working now?
They had zero points
entering the fourth quarter.
And that was a good defense.
Saquon saved their ass yesterday.
Yes, and they should have handed it to him a lot earlier.
Well, then he's going to be on pace for 700 carries
this year. Okay, then hand it to the next guy,
well,
too.
Well, that I agree with.
They should. Saquon had five carries in the first half, and it's not like...
Well, they also didn't have the ball in the first quarter. They had it for a couple plays.